Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you this morning, Jesus. Happy Father's Day, Father. We give you glory, Lord. You are the great I Am, the eternal God, creator of heaven and earth and all that is in the universe. And we say, Happy Father's Day to you, Lord. You are worthy, 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 worthy. There is no one like you, Lord. We thank you for what you're about to do in this place. God, I have never been more convinced that your power is going to be released in this place in an amazing way. And we trust you, God, to do it. Have your way, Father. In Jesus, we always pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I know we're starting off a little different, but I have never been more convinced, and then probably this has something to do with the difference today, that what I have for you today is the word of the Lord. I can't remember. I'm not going to say that it's never been this fierce. I don't know that for sure. You know, your present day has a tendency to, we say it all the time, I've just never seen weather like this. I've never seen a spring like this. I've never seen a summer like this. We do it. I mean, we just do it. And it's because our present is so profound. And I've probably been resisted as much, but I don't remember it with a word that God has for us. The enemy has fought me in my body. When I walked through those doors, I was dizzy and weak and sickly, and I was just rejoicing because the principles that I'm going to give you today, they're proven and they're true and they're tried, and God made us this promise. He said, in your weakness, I am made strong. Hallelujah. Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so I embrace my weakness today because the power of God is what is going to change things in this room today. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Jesus. I'm going to talk to you this morning about be it unto me according to the word of the Lord. Be it unto me according to the word of the Lord. In the book of Joshua, we will go there. And in this, I'm telling you, I'm teaching you a principle that God has been bringing me through. And he's working this out in me. And I saw a manifestation of it this morning. And this is just a simple little thing. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the grace of Jesus. Anytime I tell you anything good about something that I've experienced, I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on Jesus. It is his grace that is working in me. He's the one that's alive in me. I am dead in Christ. I'm crucified in him. Nevertheless, I live, but the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's Jesus is the one that's alive in me. If it's Barry, it ain't worth having. But if it's Jesus, it's worth doing whatever it takes to get. And this morning I woke up, and I've always been a big fan of rain. My dad raised me growing big gardens, and I hated it as a kid. When I was a kid, I said, I will never do this. Out of spite. I mean, we would have just rows and rows of okra and corn. And I was a very spiteful young, rebellious. It's a wonder Dad didn't kill me. He probably wanted to, but he did not. He refrained. That was the fruit of the Holy Ghost in his life. But I would chop some corn down and dig me a hole and cover it up. So, man, I show you. I'm so glad he never caught me doing that. That would have been bad. I'd chop down a few okra plants and dig me a hole and cover them up. I'm never going to do this. But as I grew older, my gardens got way bigger than Dad ever had. He first time he came down to where I was gardening, he said, "My Lord, son, this is a truck garden." He said, "Are you selling this stuff as much as that I can, Dad? I'm putting money in my pocket out of this place." It's pretty cool to have a little extra money. That's kind of an oxymoron nowadays, but extra money is nice to have. People pay $10 for a good watermelon. You sell 300 of them, you know, it's not bad. Pick 50 pounds of okra a day. $5. People in Tulsa will pay $5 a pound for okra. And people around here, I don't even try to sell it around here. They go crazy if you told them $5 a pound. I may ask $6 this year. Things have went up. $10, Larry said. Hallelujah. Groceries did double. Hallelujah. I might have more spending money than I'm used to this summer. And so I've always been a big fan of rain. And this morning, I knew the storms were coming in, so last night I put earplugs in. I didn't want them to wake me up because I knew I'd been sick, haven't felt good at all. And I put earplugs in because I didn't want anything to wake me up. Kathy, she stays up late watching TV, and I just put them in and said, "Turn it down, baby." And she turned it down. I said, "Just a little bit more." I'm telling you, I'm going to be glad when the house is built where I can have a bedroom that I can run far away from the television. Because right now, the TV butts up to our headboard. And I heard it thunder one time. It was a loud boom, and I got up, went to the bathroom. I didn't even look outside, just went back to bed. And went right back to sleep, and I woke up early this morning. It's just turning light. And I walked to the window and I looked out at my truck and it looked dry as a bone. And I hit my little electric weather recorder, hit the light on it, and it said 1/100th of an inch. And I knew there was supposed to be some big storms come through, and I was like, man, they you know, because just a few nights ago they died just before they got here. And I thought, well, they must have done it again. And in the past, this would have been devastating to me. And the enemy tried it this morning. He said, if you were living a more holy life, they would have come on in. I mean, he deals with me. I don't know if you've ever heard his voice or not, but I do. And I just told him this morning, and this is proof of what I'm teaching this morning. This stuff works, because used to, I would have went to my knees somewhere and said, "God, what is it in me that's keeping it from raining here?" Because I would accept the blame and the shame that the enemy tried to put on me. But this morning, I just told the devil, I said, "I got news for you, bud." I said, "I know there's no rain in the forecast for the next 10 days, but my God does not need a rain forecast to make it rain. He can make it rain when there's 0% chance of rain. He can bring a flood when there's 0% chance of rain." And that's how my morning started. And God began to stir this in me, and he's been stirring it in me all week. But in the book of Joshua, I'm gonna give you some insight into some principles that I believe is so necessary in our day, especially for men. This is Father's Day. We're celebrating you, men. You are to be celebrated. We live in a nation that has lost this. Even the church, I mean, the church is trying to reach the kids. When you reach a child in a family, about 3% of the time, the family will start coming to church. They'll come to Christ and start attending church. About 3% of the time. If you reach the mother, it's slightly better than that, but not much. It's up to about 25% of the time the family will start coming to church. But if you reach the father, about 93% of the time, the family will start serving God and going to church. And we live in a nation, I looked it up this morning, I looked up a bunch of different surveys. Where does Father's Day rank in importance in America? And in no survey did it ever get higher than 6th. In some surveys, it didn't make the top 20. Arbor Day is more important to some people. Every other day, Halloween is more important than Father's Day to many people in this country. Now, here's my opinion. This is just my opinion, so I'll step out aside from the pulpit. My opinion is all the holidays about God are celebrated first, then Mother's Day, then Father's Day. I got I have no qualms with celebrating mothers over fathers. They're more emotional than we are. They need a little bit extra. But there's no way that fathers should be celebrated below any other holidays. It's what's wrong in our nation. The family is God's plan. We live in a nation where we have people that are trying to bombard our children with their perversions in our public schools. And I'm like this, if you want to have sex where you can't have no kids, then that's your business. You go do that stuff. God will deal with that eventually. But get your mouth out of my kids' ears. They're my kids. They're not the government's kids. They're my kids. They came from my loins. They came from my body. They did not come from people that are having sex that cannot produce children. So you take all your trans, homophobic, any other homosexual, lesbian, away from my kids. You do whatever you want to do. That's your business. It's between you and God, and you will answer to Him. But I'm not going to cause you no trouble until you start messing with my kids. Then you're going to have me to deal with. And that's exactly what I'm talking about this morning. I may deal with it a little differently than you're expecting right now. Joshua 14. Now, I need to say this. That's perverted sex. Homosexuality is perverted sex. Lesbianism is perverted sex. The Bible says for a man to put on women's clothing is an abomination. That's what it says. God has not changed His mind. But here's something that we need to know. No fornicator. No adulterer. Ain't none of them going to be in the kingdom of heaven either. And I'm a firm believer, if the church would have stood up against fornication and adultery, instead of gracing our pulpits with it, instead of allowing people to be teachers in the church that are in adulterous relationships, this other stuff would not have escalated as it has. There's an old country song in it. You gotta stand for something. Or you'll fall for anything. It's time for the church to take a stand, especially the men. This is a Father's Day sermon. I know I preached one last week, but hang on to your britches, Edna. Joshua 14. Aren't you glad I didn't say Edith? Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. This is Caleb getting ready to make some declarations. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord thy God, the Lord your God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. You need to catch that. He got a prophetic word, and he did not get the fulfillment for 45 years. Some of us are struggling to hold on to a word for 6 weeks, 6 days, 6 hours, 6 minutes. The Lord speaks a word to us, the devil comes against us, and we're just, oh God, what are you doing? Well, he gave you a word. Stand on it. Well, how long? Well, Caleb stood for 45 years. If God says it, he'll do it. He just doesn't say when. That 45 years was the mean time that I've talked about a lot. The mean time is a mean time. But you will get to the promise if God said it. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am strong at this day, as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, that's the giants, and the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord is still with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. Hallelujah. That's what we need to do. It's not people that we're going to drive out of the land. It's devils. See, we're going to focus on the last 13 words Caleb uttered. And I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. If there was ever a word from God for this generation, men, here it is. We live in a nation filling with devils. They are pouring into this nation every day, it seems. Every week I look at what is happening and I'm like, it just can't get no worse than this. And then next week, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. It got worse again. Why is it getting worse? Because devils are flooding into our nation. And unless the men of God rise up, they will continue to do so. You might be saying, well, God has not given me a prophetic word to drive them out. Well, hogwash, he hasn't. This book is filled with prophetic words that tells us how devils will not triumph against us. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. He's talking about devils. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now that's a prophetic word that every devil that comes against you, you can spit it right in his face. First John 5:4 declares, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. See, these are two of literally hundreds of promises in the Scriptures. Hundreds of promises in the Scriptures that God has given us to overcome the evil in this world. Caleb made this statement in verse 8. He said, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Men, are we wholly following the Lord our God? We've got to answer this question. I mean, are we wholly following the Lord of God, or are we somewhat following the Lord our God? Are we following him in some ways and yet following devils in other ways? Are we following him in some ways and yet we're following our own ambitions in others? See, we live in a nation that's called, we have what we call the American dream. The American dream is making a lot of money, getting a nice house, having plenty of savings, retiring, doing whatever you want. That is contradictory to the kingdom of God. All power to you. If you can work and get to a place where you can retire comfortably, that's a wonderful thing. But you don't retire to do what you want to do if you belong to Jesus. You retire to do what Jesus... All retirement does is give you more time to serve God. Hallelujah! Men, are we wholly following the Lord our God? Is he our source of comfort and peace, or are we relying on chemicals or sex or entertainment or some other form of this world to gratify ourselves instead of totally relying upon the Lord our God? Are we following wholly after him? You've got to answer that question. I can't answer it for you. Caleb also made this incredible statement at the end of verse 10 and through verse 11. He said, "Here I am this day, 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in." See, if you've been watching what's been going on in the Ukraine, this is one of the most impressive things, and I don't really have much opinion about any of that. I don't even know what the will of God is there, and so I don't take a stand one side or the other. But if you invade my house, I know what I'm going to do. I've got a Smith & Wesson Model 19. It holds 6 rounds. It's loaded with 148 grain Winchester silver tips. They're hollow points. I load my own ammunition. And almost any factory load, I can improve upon it. I can get more velocity. I can get it to shoot better. I can get it to shoot more accurately. But those loads, I don't know what powder Winchester is using. I don't know what primers Winchester's putting in those loads. But they are, I cannot even approach those loads. They are so hot and so powerful. You can shoot a watermelon that big with one round and you won't be able to pick up a piece big enough to put in your mouth. You do not want to get shot in my house. I don't expect anyone here ever going to try that, but there may be somebody out there watching thinking, you know what, fat boy preacher, I'm going to come to your house and teach you a thing or two. You might want to rethink that. You might want to stand at the front door and get right with Jesus because you're headed to him. That's my opinion on Ukraine. You come in my house, I'm going to fight. These guys, that reminds me, I told the men this yesterday. You've probably seen it. I do everything I can not to fight. I lock that door. And I don't lock it for my benefit. I lock it for yours. I want you to stay out. I don't want to fight. Ever. I'm not good at fighting. Old age and treachery overcomes youth and strength every time. I don't want to fight. I'll do everything I can to avoid a fight. But if I have to fight, I'm going to be like the third monkey going up the ramp into Noah's Ark. And brother, it's starting to rain. The thing that impresses me about Ukraine is they got 70-plus-year-old men that are on the battlefield. It's just what I was talking about a little bit ago. When you get to retirement, it's not time to stop fighting. Caleb was 85. And he said, I'm just as fit for war today as I was 45 years ago. See, if you hold to the promises of God, if you hold to those prophetic words, and you do not allow the enemy to deviate you, to affect you in some way that causes you to lose heart or lose hope in the Lord, I'm telling you, 15 years ago, this is how I walked. 20 years ago, this is how I walked, and John Kilpatrick, he laid hands on my back and he said, this is not permanent. God is going to raise you up. And I had already been declaring Psalm 103 over my life. My God shall satisfy my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. And right now I am stronger than I was 20 years ago because God is faithful. If you hold fast to the promises of God, He will keep you strong into your old age. Moses was 120 and his eyes did not grow dim and his strength did not fail. God can keep you fighting ready well past the age that most people already give up. He can renew your youth. Psalm 103, He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. I still pray it every day. Every single solitary day. I pray it all through the day. I pray the whole psalm all through the day. I say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Let all that is within me praise your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all my iniquities? Who heals all my diseases? Who redeems my life from destruction? Who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies my mouth with good things so my youth is renewed like the eagles? Hallelujah! I'm just telling you, this stuff works. Whenever I started doing this, whatever it was, a year ago, 8 months ago, if I'd have looked at that rain gauge this morning and it said 1/100, see, you can't trust electronics all the time. They're not always right. The devil would have said, if you lived a holier life, it would have rained here. Because I knew it was in Western Osage County. They had severe thunderstorm warnings all over Western Osage County. I hadn't looked at the news yet. I didn't know that 100-mile-an-hour straight winds blew through Tulsa. It blew houses over. It blew trees over. It blew all kinds. It did make it here. I'm sorry, baby. I love you. I don't mean to scare the babies. That's the one time I was preaching. This little kid looked up at his mom. He said, Mom, who is that guy mad at? I'm mad at the devil. I'm sick and tired of the devil touching the people of God. I've had all of it I can take. If you got mad at him, you would act like this too. And somebody said, well, I ain't going to get mad at him then, because I don't. You may not have to act like this in public. He makes preachers fools. Intercessors just have to groan in private. Nobody will see what you're doing as you overcome and prevail. Maybe. We must stop allowing the devil or the world or the church or our own minds telling us now is the time to unwind and relax. See, the people that are my age and older, it's probably not going to transition to the point in our lifetime that we can't have the American dream. We probably will be able to. It's not guaranteed. Stuff could hit the fan tomorrow. It could. Everything could collapse. If you don't think nations can collapse, you are not a student of history at all. Nations have collapsed over and over and over and over and over and over. A man in Germany, just before Hitler completely took over, had worked at a restaurant his entire life. He sold it, and his what he sold his restaurant for that he'd worked his entire life at, he was able to live for 7 days. Their money became so devalued, you could have a wheelbarrow full of it, and it was worthless. Nations pull out of that. Germany's prospering well today. But the guy that sold his restaurant, he didn't. We don't know when these things are going to happen. I don't know. I'm clueless. But anybody with any logic at all has to understand when they're printing money like they are in this nation, the $100 bill has now become the $20. It cost me $100 to get my grandkids to pull the weeds out of my garden. I think watermelons did go up to $20, Larry. Or more, they might be $25. We have worked hard all our lives to get to this point. People my age. And our thought is we're just going to take it easy from here. And I just want to encourage you, if you are able to quit work and live comfortably, by all means do it. But then enlist in the most important army in the world, the Lord's army. Now is the time for men to stand up as Caleb and say, I am strong and ready to go to war for Jesus. Now here's the main point I've been trying to get to. Apologize that it took so long to get here. If you're really tired right now, I need you to shake yourself. And if you think your neighbor's tired, shake them too. Because we need to hear what's about to be said. Just give me a few more minutes this morning, afternoon, whatever time it is. 1 Timothy 1:18. There is a war raging in America. I hope you realize that. I hope you get that. I can't remember the exact age of the kids. I think they were either in the second or the third grade. And when the parents found out about this, they went berserk. And a lot of the stuff is animated. It's different than it used to be. Used to, when we saw it was a cartoon, that was not a threat. I mean, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Elmer Fudd, the Roadrunner, the Coyote, Wile E. Coyote, I mean Acme, he got blasted, anvils fell on him, dynamite blew up in his face, I mean big rocks fell on him, but he was always there the next day chasing the Roadrunner. It was fairly harmless. I did not grow up with those cartoons thinking that I could hold a stick of dynamite and let it explode in my hand and live through it. Because we had black cat firecrackers. And if one of them things went off in your hand, you knew you didn't want dynamite going off in your hand. When I was a kid, we did all kinds of crazy stuff, and the weak ones were weeded out. Now we protect everybody, and the soft ones just keep going. Instead of being educated. I need to move on. 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. See, there is so much chatter going on in our nation about civil war. People think, I want to fight a civil war. I don't even get that. You don't know anything about civil war to think that. Just do a flyover with the drones in Mozambique and look at a nation that's been at civil war for the last 20 years. Just see the destruction, see the devastation, the famine, the pestilence. So many children in Mozambique have no parents. They were both killed. You don't want civil war. One politician said you can't fight the American government without F-16s. And he's right. I mean, what are we going to do? Blow up more federal buildings? You can. But boy, that was very effective, wasn't it? Kill all those babies? Boy, that really did a dent on the government, didn't it? We're not called to overthrow the government. We are called to overthrow the kingdom of darkness. We're called to penetrate the kingdom of darkness and push it out. And you don't do that by fighting in normal military strategies. You've got to understand how strong you are in the power of His might. You've got to understand the weapons of your warfare. They are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If you want to change things in D.C., then you are going to have to get on your knees and wrestle with the ones that are influencing D.C. What the body of Christ needs is some men that will rise up. And they will get on their knees with the promises of God. And they will wrestle hell until hell loses its grip. And we can begin to see the glory of God in this nation again. If God can find some men that will pray, and we pray the promises, I'm telling you, this stuff works. God will give you more grace if you'll begin to pray James 4 every day. Wherefore, He gives more grace to the humble, and it tells us it may require some weeping. It may require some lamenting. It may require some tears and some brokenness within us, but we are holding fast to the promises of God. We refuse to let go. We are going to see the victory that God has promised. He said, the world will not overcome me. He said, the greater one lives within me. He said, my faith overcomes the world. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not by the talk of civil war, not by the talk of civil disobedience. That's not what wins this battle. It is men on their knees in the trenches with God, crying out to Him night and day and believing Him to move. Hallelujah. This stuff works. God will give more grace to the humble. And that grace will allow you to live in a way that is victorious even in the midst of the heat of the battle. He'll give you the perseverance that you need to stay on your knees until you see Him prevail through the promises. This book is filled with hundreds of promises. I have a notebook filled with promises that God has made to this church. This book is filled with promises that God has made to us. There are dozens, if not hundreds, of promises right here. And if we will pray those promises, stand on those promises, do war with hell over those promises, telling the devil, you will not have my children. You will not have my house. You will not have my home. You will not have my church. You will not have my nation. You will not have the world. I will overcome the world through Jesus my King. And just be so determined you can't be deterred. Do you think Caleb had any battles in that 45 years? Do you think it ever looked like it wasn't going to happen? God speaks a word of prophecy here about a city. I don't know when it was. 20 years ago? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. 15 years ago? I've got the promises. I just don't have dates written on them. That was a mistake I made. God did tell us to start recording stuff. He told us to start recording all the miracles that have taken place. We need to write it down that God healed Kennedy. We need to write it down that God healed Marianne Brandstetter, that God healed Marty Howell, that God healed whoever He healed. Just start writing it down because He deserves the credit. He deserves the glory. Do you realize there is no limit to what a church can accomplish as long as nobody cares who gets the credit? All the glory is supposed to go to God. Well, I prayed. If you pray for the accolades of men, then the accolades of men is all you will get. But if you go to the Lord in secret and you cry out to Him night and day, He will reward you openly. He is faithful. He is faithful. And if there's ever been a time for the men of God to go to their knees in this nation, to not look for the easy way out, to not look for, and nobody likes to fish more than me. I like to fish. I like it. Let me correct that. I like to catch. I'm not a big fan of fishing. I mean, I like fishing for about 30 minutes. And then I'm like, I need to find some fish. I like it. I'm sure some of you ladies love to shop. Just guessing. By how many pairs of shoes are at my house. Some of y'all like it a lot. And there's nothing wrong with it. As long as we spend our time on our knees, crying out to God with the promises, prevailing in prayer. The nation hangs in the balance. It really does. If we don't act now, it's not Trump going to destroy America. It's not Biden going to destroy America either, even though neither one of them are helping anything. The devil's destroying America. And he's doing a fine job of it. I don't know how much longer we have. But until she's gone, why don't we pray? God told us, this is a prophetic word. This is something we can fight with, and I'm going to shut up. He said, when 50 people are consistently coming to the Sunday night prayer meeting, see what I will do. We had, if I'm not mistaken, 68 volunteers at the May Day event, and that is commendable, and I'm so grateful for all those volunteers. So here's my encouragement. For the next 7 prayer meetings, we're not going to have 7 in a row. Tonight's Father's Day, and I believe in Father's Day. So you go celebrate Father's Day. But the next 7 prayer meetings on Sunday night, I'm asking that all 68 volunteers show up. And if you didn't volunteer, I'm asking you to show up too. And for 7 prayer meetings, and Richie Seltzer will be here the 11th. He's not here on a Sunday, is he? So we won't miss a prayer meeting that week. That would be a big prayer meeting to make the Sunday night before he comes. Every Sunday night before he gets here. I believe God's going to do something with that young man. He is a lion in the body of Christ. You have no idea what God is sending here. I'm just telling you, this guy preaches at Bethel. Bethel in Redding, California, where Bill Johnson's the pastor. He preaches conferences there. And God's bringing him here. Do you know how hard it is to get people like that to come here? Because I've asked them all. How many times have you seen them here? Not very many. This may be our one shot with the guy. I don't know. So I think we should pray. But I'm asking you for the next 7 prayer meetings, all 68 volunteers and everybody else, if we can just come and pray for 7 weeks. It's not going to be in a row probably because other things are going on. But if we'll just pray for 7 weeks with 60 or 70 or 80 people here. And I tell you what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to not even have Sunday morning services and just pray on Sunday morning. That's what I'm willing to do. That's how important it is. You think that it would be easy for me to not preach in 7 weeks? When God puts this stuff in you, that's why it's so hard for me to stop. It is like a fire shut up in your bones. But for the next 7 weeks, if we would come and we would pray, and we would pray those prophetic promises, and we'd begin to write down all the miracles that God has done, just write them down. He deserves the glory. He deserves the credit. When we are dead and gone, they can write books about what God did in Barnstall, because there have been hundreds of miracles here. And we're getting ready to pray for another one. I remember when Bill was in the hospital and they were talking about cutting off his leg. And God gave him a word and he stood on the word. And as I was praying for Philip and Linda today, the word of the Lord came to me. Pray until you get a word and then stand on the word. They're talking about cutting her leg off tomorrow. Now, if you think God can't stop that, you're incorrect. Just for a little insight into this God that you serve, He breathes stars. If you put every thermonuclear device on planet Earth in a pile, and you detonated every single one at the same instant, God could take His thumb and His index finger and He could snuff that out like a candle. Nuclear weapons are powerful. God is all powerful. He speaks and there are stars. And if you're not impressed with stars, go climb up on top of the Rocky Mountains. And even easier, drive to the top of the Rocky Mountains. And on a dark night, just look into the sky, because you've never seen stars like you'll see there in this nation. And He made them everyone, and they suspend in the heavens by His word. I'm not worried about what men can do. Men are not that powerful. But your God is all powerful. And I'm asking you this morning, afternoon, I don't know. It's afternoon. To go to the Lord. These altars are open. And He may not give us a word. I've already given this word to Philip. God may have already given Philip the word. I don't know. But I'm asking all of us to pray this morning. To go to war for Linda. And I know Charity's in the hospital too. We need to remember her. She's at home now, but she went a couple of days ago. And she's been battling this thing. But let's go to the Lord this morning. I don't want Linda to lose her leg. I don't know about you, but I just don't want it to happen. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundant. I stand on that. So as the music begins to play, I know our musicians back there in the sound boxes are probably going, please shut up, please shut up, please shut up. Because I used to be in the sound booth. And I was going, please shut up, please shut up, please shut up. Because I didn't know what it was like to stand up here. To have the word of the Lord on the inside of you. If you've never done it, you don't know either. So just try to be less critical. Would you find you a place this morning and begin to cry out for Linda? And if God gives you a word, just be confident that it's the Lord. We don't need emotionalism. We don't need something that feels good. That we need the word of the Lord. Be confident that you've heard His voice before you say, this is what the Lord says. Find you a place and begin to pray for Linda that God would spare her leg, that He would raise her up off this bed of affliction. Curse diabetes. Curse this attack on her internal organs. Speak to that pancreas and say, pancreas, come alive. Pancreas, function properly. Body, be healed in the name of Jesus. Come on, find you a place and begin to pray. Come on, men, go to war this morning. The Bible says, by His stripes we were healed. Psalm 103:3 declares, He's the God that heals all of our diseases.
Even when I don't feel You're working, You never stop.
You never stop.
Hey.
You never stop. You never stop.
Even when
thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.